what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. If you're hanging out live on our FTN YouTube page, smash that like button. You have any questions, leave them there in the YouTube section. I'll see them here on the show. We can address them. Anything at all. A busy show here. We got a handful of games in the NHL. On the hard court, we have Monday Night Football, a fantastic matchup here tonight between the Pats and the Bills in Buffalo. Looks like we're going to have some nasty weather in Buffalo, of course. I've been to one Bills game, and it was atrocious. The weather was pathetic. It was raining sideways. It didn't stop people in Buffalo from having fun and jumping off of trucks and vehicles onto tables. I'll tell you that. It's a great tailgate. It's a great time. Honestly, go watch a Bills game. It really is a really fun time to watch a Buffalo game, and you get a kick out of everything that happens before and after the game. But that should be a great one here this evening. We got some props. We got some picks in the NHL, in the NBA. And of course, we will tackle tonight's football game with Tino Rodriguez. Producer Tino is going to drop by in a little bit. We're going to talk some NBA with him, but we really will dive into tonight's matchup. We have the Bills 3-point favorites here. The total at 41. It was 46 at the start of the week, so it's come down quite a bit. I still have a lean to the under. It's not my favorite play on the board, but I don't think we'll see a lot of points here. I really don't think so with all this win and both defenses, especially New England's, playing really, really good here. So we'll break down this game. Hanging out here live in the chat, I see a couple people hanging out. If you have any questions, again, leave them there. We'll address them. Even if you're watching, you know, the replay on their YouTube page, FTN Fantasy, FTNBets.com, I'll always circle back, especially before puck drop and tip off in the NBA, in case there's any edges or come off of any guys for props or any plays like that. So leave them there, and we will address it at some point here today. You know, week 13, not a lot of surprises, I don't think, for the most part. You know, when you get double-digit games right on the spread, you're like, yeah, you know, no real surprises. Did okay. Not that I'm a chalk donkey. Did get the Rams to cover that one pretty easy, 12.5 on the Sunday morning betting show. But I think the only real surprises from a pick standpoint was the Steelers winning on the Steelers to cover that game at 4.5. Earlier in the week, though, I really did like Baltimore 2.5, but the pick that I liked the most, especially this time last week, actually it was Tuesday last week after I saw Seattle play Monday Night Football against Washington, was the 49ers to cover. I thought that they would cover that game over the weekend. Russell Wilson looked more like himself, and San Fran couldn't really get... It was such a strange game, really, to start the game. It was really weird. There's a lot of just some fake punts, some special plays. I mean, the Travis Homer reverse, and Seattle had to get creative on offense to try to get something going, and they did. They had a pretty decent game offensively. They used all their running backs. AP finds the end zone, and of course he did, right? Adrian Peterson. But that, to me, was the most surprising game of the entire week. I mean, we'll roll through some of the box scores. I got some playoff scenarios with you guys. I just wanted to talk it out with you guys and with Tino. And also just your top performers from the week as well. We got a bit of a taste of what life would be like next season for Javonte Williams without Melvin Gordon there, and he is your RB1 for the week heading into tonight's football game, which I do believe the Pats will run the football and try to run the football on the Buffalo Bills. But Javonte Williams had a phenomenal game. He looked fantastic. It's what we've all waited for when it comes to Javonte Williams, certainly myself. I've waited for this moment for a long time, just as a guy who, man, he runs so hard. Yards after contact is among the best in the NFL. He's catching balls out of the backfield. He had a walk-in touchdown towards the end of the game, some garbage time touchdown points for him. But nonetheless, I mean, he deserved every little bit of that, Javonte Williams. So I'm pretty happy that I'm going to win a couple consolation brackets this season thanks to Javonte Williams. And if I get a consolation bracket trophy and I put Javonte Williams on it, I'll put it next to the Cam Akers consolation brackets that I won last season, because you know Melvin Gordon's going to come back, and that's it. It's going to be all over. We had a little bit of a taste. Sean McCormick hanging out. Seahawks decided to show up and ruin my weekend too, brother. Yeah, I mean, they really did ruin my weekend, honestly. I had a five-leg parlay with the Niners on it, and the bet tracker lost because of that. I had a 6 or 7 game teaser here on this show where I teased the Niners like +3, lost that one as well. I mean, they had a chance at the very end of the game to, you know, to win the or tie the game, really. And same with the Ravens. chance at the end to maybe kick the extra point, go to overtime, but they were really getting torched in the second half of the game. No Marlon Humphrey, he's done for the season too. So that's a big loss. No real significant injuries. Humphrey shoulder does look like, I don't know if it's confirmed. I'm pretty sure it's like 99% chance. I think I saw that last night come through, and this morning again that, you know, MRI, everything will be broken here today, but looks like he's going to be lost for the season. That's tough. Miles Sanders left with an ankle injury. He finally had a 100-yard game, his first since last season. Eagles lead the NFL in rushing yards, but Sanders finally a 100-yard game from him. But Eagles on a bye, so you could potentially get him for week 14. Adam Thielen is the big injury too on offense, high ankle sprain. Could be lost for the season, could be lost for at least the rest of the fantasy season, that's for sure. KJ Osborne would be the big pickup here. Ty Conklin, I suppose, in deeper formats, tight end that you could maybe feel confident rolling out as a, you know, in a 12-team format, maybe. I mean, I have some pretty mediocre teams out there. Sometimes I got to roll with two tight ends. Maybe you can play him as a, you know, as a flex. And then Corey Davis left, but he hasn't been doing anything anyways. It's been the Elijah Moore show with New York and the Jets. But Davis always going to get that top corner. So when he's on the field, I think it is good news for a guy like Elijah. And then Tyrod Taylor, I'm seeing a wrist, maybe tore his ligament in his wrist. Looks like his season could be gone, and maybe Davis Mills gets back under center for the Texans. That's it really from an injury standpoint. Like I said, we're going to roll through some of the box scores, some of the playoff scenarios, and some of the, you know, the big fantasy takeaways for the week. But just wanted to give some love to FTN Bets. The promo code is FTNTV for 15% off. Always got to give this, guys, because honestly, you never know who's just checking in for the first time. If you're checking in for the first time, welcome. We love to have you. But this is an all sports package here. All picks, all sports. And we offer all the picks and all the sports over at FTNBets.com. Guys are killing it. You know, 100 plus units in college sports, tennis, NHL. We're in the mid 80s, 86 units, I believe, over 60 NHL props. Of course, NFL props, everyone's killing it. You got the new player prop tool in the NFL, and a little sneak peek. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but why not? We got one coming out for the NBA as well, thanks to Kyle Murray. So that's going to help you with some player projections. I mean, Jeff Ratcliffe's projections are super spot on. You get exclusive tools, as you see there, the premium chat as well. CJ Uzuma is the GOAT. George, you lost Uzuma. You lost like a five-leg parlay, prop parlay on Uzuma. You need one more yard from this guy. Is that what I saw last night, or what I'm hearing? You just always find a way, don't you? You always find a way. We got an NHL 3 pick. Yes, we did. You got one over the weekend. 3. What I was saying, just maybe narrow it down to 3. Got to give some loves to our free pick tracker again over at FTNDaily.com. We hit one over the weekend. I believe it was Saturday night. We had 4 NHL picks in there. You only needed to get 3 of the 4. All 4 hit. Again, I love the flex play option over at Prize Picks. It could be 2 for 3, 3 for 4. Heck, you can maybe 5 plays, 4 for 5. It just kind of saves you. I know I'm not alone, and George isn't alone either. 1 yard, he says. He's not alone. So many times I see this. I see it in the Discord channel. It happens, right? I get greedy as well. You want to put one more pick on there. We got to get it to 4, the bigger payout. But I think, you know, rolling with 3, I love to roll with 2. Build yourself a bankroll, and then you can take some shots. But over at FTNDaily.com, you click that free tap up at the top, the tab up at the top. You get the free DFS picks across all of our partners, Underdog, Jock Market. Prize Picks, honestly, is my favorite. Promo code FTN, and they'll match your first deposit up to 100%. Actually, up to $100, but a 100% first deposit match of up to $100. And if you're already signed up or for a bud, they sign up under your referral link, and then boom, away you go. You get a free $25 in your Prize Picks account. That's what I love. It's just that you can go 3 for 4 and still earn a profit because, again, and it usually is that one and CJ Uzuma, right? I mean, the 1 yard, not even just like 1 yard. Crazy stuff. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll recap. We'll the playoff scenarios in a little bit with Tino, but I wanted to just take a look at some of the weekly leaders from week 13, and we will start with Javonte Williams, your RB1 for the week. Let's go. Mean Streets continues right here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. All right, welcome back in. Mean Streets continuing here on Game Plus Network. Let's take a look at the weekly leaders for week 13 of the NFL season. Let's start at the running back position. You got Javonte Williams in there. Again, as I said off the top, a bit of a taste of what life will be like for Javonte Williams next year with no Melvin Gordon. I think you have him in dynasty leagues. I love it. Absolutely love it. You know, like Jake Seely said this morning on All In Football, you can catch that this evening on Game Plus Network as well. You know, when you're in a dynasty league, you could always throw Javonte Williams, say, hey, guys, you know, what could I get for Javonte Williams? I would take a top tier wide receiver. Like, if you're going to give me a Justin Jefferson, a Jamar Chase, I don't know, the status of Calvin Ridley is a little bit risky. I think, you know, DK Metcalf as well, I'm a little concerned about his outlook. But if you could get a stud wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, you could probably get Terry McLaurin and maybe a second round pick. Honestly, people are going to gush over Javonte Williams. I like him too. I think he's an absolute beast. 23 carries, 102 yards. He had 6 grabs on 9 targets for 76 yards, and he had the receiving touchdown towards the end of the game. But I, you know, if you could get a stud wide receiver, the shelf life for some of these running backs, it's just so short, right? It really is super short. Melvin Gordon's on my mind, but Todd Gurley a few years ago, this guy was on top of the world. He was on top of the world. He was winning fantasy football championships, and I get it. That's what I'm here for, too. If you can win a fantasy football championship in a dynasty league, in a redraft, whatever, you sell the house to get that done, in my opinion, and you figure it out in the next couple of years. But, I mean, if you could get a stud wide receiver, I would make that move. But anyways, Javonte Williams up at the top. Jonathan Taylor finds the end zone for a 10th straight game, the first running back to do so since LaDainian Tomlinson. Remember LaDainian Tomlinson's years in like 2004? Yeah, 2004, 2005, what an absolute beast. So Taylor, no surprise to see him up at the top. He has a monster day. 32 carries, 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. David Montgomery, 21 for 90, had a touchdown, caught 8 passes for 51 yards. Sony Michel, right? We've been talking about Sony Michel for a few weeks now. If you had Daryl Henderson, Sony Michel is a great handcuff. He was in a really good spot against the Jags, but he had 24 carries, 121 yards, and a touchdown. I was able to plug him in at my flex spot in DFS. He was sub 5K, so it worked out pretty well. 3 grabs for 8 yards. Just have him, right? You never know. Daryl Henderson's had some issues with injuries. The schedule does get a little bit tougher moving forward for the Rams. It's actually one of the toughest schedules at, you know, in the NFL moving forward, at Arizona, Seattle, at Minnesota, at Baltimore. And then they wrap up against San Fran. Alexander Mattison, right? When Cook doesn't play, this guy's just an automatic RB1. Every single time. 22 for 90 and a touch. 3 catches, 34 yards. Antonio Gibson was used like I think everybody in the fantasy community wanted Antonio Gibson to be used heading into the season. There's no JD McKissick, so he caught 5 passes for 23 yards. We had that over 3.5 catches at plus 140 at FTM bets. 23 carries, 88 yards. He was just used as a true bell cow back, and he's been an absolute beast over the past couple weeks. I could take the L. I have no problem taking the L on Antonio Gibson. He's had 19 fantasy points in 3 of his past 4 games. I just was unsure of how he was going to be used, and he wasn't used properly over the first few weeks. Now with McKissick sidelined, he's getting used as a true bell cow back. You got Josh Jacobs in there, 13 for 52 and a touchdown. He caught 9 passes for 38 yards. He's been more involved through the air over the last few weeks, and I forgot to mention this off the top. Kenyon Drake is done for the season. He broke his leg. He's done for the season, so Jacobs is going to be a bell cow back with a lot of catches out of the backfield. Their schedule moving forward, you got KC this week, Cleveland, Denver, Indy, and the Chargers. So Jacobs, you know, just having that extra boost out of the backfield is super significant, I think, for his upside, right? He's had a few games in a row with some catches. I think we got burned Thanksgiving. I was all over his catch prop at plus money 3.5, didn't get it. But for the most part, he has been more involved through the air, and he will be moving forward. Leonard Fournette now leads the NFL among running backs in catches. What a season for Leonard Fournette. 13 for 40. 7 grabs, 48 yards, and a touchdown. This guy has been, he's been one of the better pickups, right? People, you know, were unsure. Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, we'll just pass, right? It's a mess. Bruce Arians, the Tampa backfield. But Fournette has been a steal in drafts. He's got 7 rushing touchdowns. He had a receiving one yesterday. 18 fantasy points, 40. He's had double-digit fantasy points in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of his past 9 games. And the one game he didn't, he went up against a stout rush defense in New Orleans. What else we got on this list? Devontae Freeman, James Conner, Travis Homer, Kenneth Gainwell. So Gainwell, you know, he got a lot of play towards the end. Boston Scott didn't do anything. He was just a big zero in the game yesterday. I don't even think he touched the field. And then Miles Sanders had the 100-yard game, but he suffered the ankle injury. But the Eagles are on bye here. It's a spec ad. We could get Miles Sanders back in a couple weeks. And then there's nothing really to take away from Travis Homer in that matchup, but there was James Conner, right, just finds the end zone, 20 for 75. Another day where he has a touchdown. This one was a receiving yard touchdown. But I thought Devontae Freeman looked pretty good. I will say that. 14 for 52, a touchdown. He had 8 targets, 5 grabs, and 43 yards. Let's switch things over and talk about some wide receivers. Tino made these sharp boards here for us today. So let's give him some love. And up at the top, Justin Jefferson. Man, this guy is awesome. Wish he was an Eagle, right? Philly Nation, do we wish that? Yeah, no. Jalen Reagor, he looked pretty good yesterday. Justin Jefferson, he's guys like 14 targets. Like, how many targets is he going to get moving forward with no Adam Thielen? Pittsburgh this week, Chicago, the Rams, Green Bay, and then Chicago again. The schedule is not ideal, but 11 grabs, 182 yards, and a touchdown. He is so good. He has 1,200 yards already. 1,200 yards already. Like, he set a wide receiver rookie record last season, the most ever, 1,400 yards. He's going to top that. He's going to top that. He's less than 200 away from topping it. Last season in 18 games, he had 125 targets, 88 catches. This year through 12, he's got 112 targets and 78 grabs. He's got a few more games now. Again, yeah, he's got one more game this year on the schedule, but he's probably going to top. He's definitely going to top that before we get to week 18. Pittsburgh this week, Chicago, the Rams, Green Bay. I think I just went over that, but, you know, schedule's not great, but all those targets, right? Man, Justin Jefferson. Deontay Johnson, another guy, right, when he's healthy, he just gets all the looks, no matter who the quarterback is. 11 targets, 8 grabs, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns for him. We had T. Higgins in there, 14 targets, 9 grabs, 138 yards, and a touchdown. Jamar Chase has been pretty quiet lately, and for T. Higgins, he's topped 100 yards in back-to-back games. He's had at least 78 yards in 4 of his past 5. Cooper Kupp does it again. We had a prop, we had a parlay in there, and I was a little hesitant to give it, only because it just seemed pretty chalky, but it was 6-1. It paid out 6-1. Taylor to find the end zone, Fournette to find the end zone, Kupp to find the end zone, Alexander Mattison to find the end zone. You know, you're never going to get any value on just a Kupp touchdown, a single Kupp touchdown. And Jill comes in here all the time on Thursdays, and he gives great touchdown props, and we're always looking for plus money. But you can include Kupp into parlays. This is every single week this guy seems to find the end zone. In fact, you look at, he's got 11 touchdowns on the season. There's only been 5 games this year where he hasn't found the end zone. Chris Godwin, a monster day, 17 targets, 15 catches, 143 yards. Keenan Allen only has 5 grabs for 34 yards, but he finds the end zone twice. Amon-Ra St. Brown, how about the Lions? A walk-off win in Detroit, a great week for Michigan fans. But for Amon-Ra St. Brown, he has a touchdown at the end. The Lions get their first win since this day last year. Actually, it was 364 days, almost exactly a year since their last win. But good for Campbell and Goff. It was pretty cool to see. It was pretty cool. 10 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. Deontay Harris is in here, but he had the big touchdown catch towards the end of the game there. Guyton is in here. He had a touchdown, 90 yards, 4 grabs. Elijah Moore does it again. 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Elijah Moore's last few games, 6 for 67, 7 for 84, 2 touchdowns, 3 for 44, a touchdown, 8 for 141, a touchdown, 4 for 46, and then 6 for 77, and a touchdown. Guy's going to be like a league winner here. Russell Gage, 11 grabs, 130 yards. Teams are just doubling. Kyle Pitts is what we've said on this show for a few weeks now. Russell Gage, not phenomenal game, 7 for 64, 5 for 49, 6 for 62, and a touchdown, 11 for 130, but somebody's got to catch the ball there for Atlanta moving forward. Tyler Lockett, CeeDee Lamb on that list after you get past Tyler Lockett, but Lockett, you know, a decent game there towards the end, but really nothing again from DK Metcalf. Sean McCormick checks in. Tyrod considered week to week. Yeah, Davis Mills time. You know, like earlier, just saw the, you know, potential torn ligament in his wrist. So it looks like McCormick's got the news there for us that he is going to be week to week. I mean, we can't get excited about anyone, I don't think, in the Houston offense. But, you know, moving forward, there's some decent matchups, you know, Seattle and Jacksonville over the next couple weeks. But for Brandon Cooks, you know, earlier in the year, looked good with Taylor and then had a game with Mills against Carolina. I believe that was on Thursday Night Football. He had the 9 catches, 112 yards, and he just disappeared, right? 5 for 47, 3 for 23, big game, 9 for 89, 5 for 21, big game, 6 for 83 and a touchdown. That was garbage time against the Rams really, really late in that game. And then Miami, 6 for 56. The past couple weeks have been pretty mediocre. I don't know if I would roll him out or not. I don't know if Davis Mills is better for his game or not, to be honest. Probably, because sometimes Tyrod Taylor is just willing to kind of tuck and run than throw the football. So maybe, you know, I don't view him as anything more than a wide receiver 3, mostly probably a flex. I did want to go over the quarterbacks here quickly. Don't have a board for this one. Just George was Jordan's made a lot of boards for us here today. But quickly, some of the quarterbacks for week 13. Kyler Murray, welcome back. Welcome back, QB1 status, sir. Only 123 passing yards, 11 for 15, two touchdowns. But Kyler and the Cardinals haven't needed to throw the football, really. They're blowing out teams, seven straight wins on the road, all of them 10-plus points. I forget the stat I saw last night. The first team in, I think the only, here it is. The third team in NFL history, I do have it written down here, the third team in NFL history to win seven straight games on the road by at least 10-plus points. Kyler and the Cardinals are rolling, and it looks like the path is going to have to go through Arizona in the Dome. I thought that was a big test for Arizona. Chicago is not great, but the environment wasn't great. It was windy. It was rainy. The weather was brutal. They don't practice in this kind of stuff, right? They can't practice those elements. They're in a Dome. They can't. You ever been to Arizona? It's freaking hot there, man. I went there in February for the Waste Management Open. It was scorching hot, and Buddy's like, oh, man, you came at a great time. This is the coldest time of the year. So, I mean, Arizona, the path to go through the Dome and not to have to go to Lambeau, looking pretty good. Brady's your QB2 of surprise, right? Four touchdowns. It's just another day at the office for Tom Brady. 51 pass attempts. It's not even the most pass attempts he's had so far this season. Justin Herbert, QB3. Taysom Hill, four interceptions. Doesn't matter. QB4 on the week because he has 101 rushing yards. Matthew Stafford, three passing touchdowns. A get-right spot for the Rams. No surprise here. Zach Wilson, a little bit of a surprise. Jared Goff, also a little bit of a surprise. Kirk Cousins, Big Ben's inside the top 10. Jimmy G inside the top 10. Gardner Minshew is a QB1 for the week, two touchdowns as well. I thought the offense flowed a little bit better with him, but I would say that they should go back to Jalen Hurts. Yeah, George, there is no bad time or too hot at the Waste Management Open. 16th hole is an absolute time. Is it? Oh, rookie move. 16? Flag 16? It's a great time. It's an absolute great time. Everybody, go check it out. All right, we'll break. We'll bring in Tino, and we will talk playoff scenarios here. Obviously, tonight's game is huge. It really is huge. But out of the 32 teams, 24 of the 32 are either in a playoff spot or one game out of a playoff spot. Who's good? I don't know. Is everyone trash? I don't think so. But there's some parity in the league. There's a lot of inconsistency in the league. There are a lot of teams that are just not showing us any consistency at all. I want to get Tino's thoughts. I want to get your guys' thoughts, too. We'll take a look at the playoff matchups as well. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Yo, yo, what's going on? Welcome back in. Tino Rodriguez _ joining us here. We're going to preview the Monday Night Football game in a little bit. You got some Zach Moss stats. I think we'll save you. The past two breaks, you're talking a lot of Zach Moss to me. We don't even know if this guy's gonna be active. But the wind, I think it makes a lot of sense. We'll save it.
You're gonna get me going too early. You gotta save it.
I can see you already want to get going. We'll preview tonight's game in just a little bit. But I want to get your thoughts overall. We've been kind of doing this over the past couple weeks. I think these boards are super slick. You want to start NFC? You want to do NFC here?
Yeah,
because
let's do
AFC. There's some AFC stuff that, you know, will take shape more here tonight. We may have to get you to update this, George. But man, I just love the way that this is laid out for us here. Thanks to GZ, NFC playoff pitcher here, first round bye. So we got Arizona 10-2. As I just talked earlier about them in the last segment, man, just a team that's absolutely rolling. You know, what they've done over the 3 weeks without Kyler and Hopkins, you know, playing two games inside the division, getting it done. Kingsbury, I think, is going to, it's either him or Belichick, in my opinion, for coach of the year. How about this? San Fran, now they laid an egg yesterday and they dropped the ball, no Debo. The defense wasn't all that great, but man, I tell you what, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur do not want to see the 49ers in the first round. They do not want to see the Niners, no matter if that game's at Lambeau or not. Washington and Tampa, that would be a rematch of last season. The Washington defense has played pretty good over the past few weeks. I believe you were on them when we talked. I don't know if you said that on Mean Streets, but you did talk up Heineke and this Washington team to go into Vegas and get a W. And then the Rams and Cowboys, that's the same matchup we had last week as well. So I think that would still be a terrific matchup. There are teams, of course, in the hunt. The Eagles are in the hunt. Minnesota, tough loss. The Saints, I believe, are completely done. For the most part, that would be it. But what do you make of what you've seen this weekend? I suppose Atlanta's still in the hunt, but they're not, right? Like these teams that you see in the graphics, oh, they're in the hunt. They're just not in the hunt. But what do you make of these potential matchups? And what did you see that you liked from Week 13?
I think this is the most likely NFC playoff picture, to be honest. I mean, looking at that, yeah, like I don't want to be kind of take the easy way out with this, but as much as there's teams in the hunt and we have so many teams being competitive, I mean, the San Francisco 49ers killed us, right? They're frauds. We kind of knew this, but we wanted to think Seattle.
We started to come around on them and then they did this to us, right?
It's because of how bad Seattle was. And that's the thing. It's a divisional game. We should have seen it. Everyone was on the 49ers. So, you know what? Shame on us. But it's all right. It's all right. I do think, though, that they are a likely playoff team. George Kittle looks, you know, George Kittle. He looks back to normal. Debo shouldn't be gone too long. Getting him back will be huge for that team. And really, I mean, as long as Jimmy G just stops getting in his own way, I think this team is good enough to compete and be a playoff team. I mean, he had some ugly plays last night. Aside from that, Washington, again, I said this last week. I mean, dude, they lost Chase Young, and the defense is finally figuring it out. Now, again, you talked about this a little bit on All In. Let's not crown them. They've played not so great teams, right? I mean, they beat the Bucks at home, but the Raiders, Denver, you know, these teams aren't, you know, world beaters, but they have a favorable schedule in division to end the season. I see them in one of those wild card spots, and I don't think any team wants to see them. And right now, they're set up to play the Bucks, who they beat. Now it'll be on the road, but I don't think Tampa wants to see them, right? So we have some interesting matchups. If it does stay this way, we have interesting matchups. The one though that still sticks out, it looks like it's going to be ironed in here with the Cardinals that keep winning, are the two teams who have the biggest letdown games of the NFC, right? The Rams versus the Cowboys. That's going to be a game that I think neither team's going to want to win. Like who's going to come out on top? Seriously, I don't know where you set the line. You probably give the points to the Rams, right, just based on home field. But I don't know, man. I think that matchup's the most intriguing, and I don't really know which side to lean. Stafford doesn't beat winning teams and hasn't won a playoff game. And then you have the Cowboys who are the Cowboys. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting sight to see that 4-5 matchup.
You know what? Washington can still win the division. Right. Jake brought that to my attention.
Yeah.
They could win the division. I'm looking at it. Honestly, I think that it's either Washington or Philly. You got Carolina here at 5-7. They're a mess. The Falcons are 5-7. The Saints are 5-7. Those teams are a mess, right? They're a complete mess. Mm-hmm. So then you have the Eagles at 6-7, and then you have Washington at 6-6. So Washington's schedule goes Dallas, Philly, Giants, right? The NFL did this, so the NFC's trash. NFC East is trash. Let's just have them all play each other. It'll probably be for the division. It'll be exciting. Check. You guys got it right. So they could win the division, but those are two tough games against Dallas. Split, maybe. I think that Dallas could win both of them, and then that would leave the door open for Philly, but what it's going to come down to, Tino, as you know, is not so much the Washington-Dallas. It's going to come down to the two Washington-Philly games. Philly goes Washington, Giants, Washington-Dallas. So I'd say Dallas beats Philly. There's a loss. And Washington would have to, in their mind, they're like, let's just get the split against the Eagles. The Eagles' mind, they got to take both, right? They got to sweep both of them. So I think it's going to come down to both of those teams. Let's switch gears. Let's talk AFC here. Let's see what we got here. Because this is, talk about inconsistency here from some of these teams. I mean, aside from the Pats, unbelievable on the road, unbelievable defense. This is huge for them here this evening. If they can win this, I think that they will lock down the division. 8-4, a bunch of teams here at 8-4. The Bengals, right? Bengals, another one of those teams, inconsistent, still young, still Zach Taylor. Some of his play calling still kind of makes me shake my head a little bit, but they're on the rise. They're in this thing. They're in the playoff picture here. Tough loss to the Chargers. A tough loss to the Jets a couple weeks ago, but they have beaten teams like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, Tennessee, right? It's hard to judge the inconsistencies from them with, you know, no A.J. Brown and no Derrick Henry over the past couple weeks. But just, again, another team that just, they've beaten good teams and then they've lost to crap teams. The Chargers, inconsistency written all over them. Baltimore in here as well with the tough loss to the Steelers yesterday. And Lamar Jackson just looking very mediocre over the past few weeks, throwing a lot of picks. I think he's got five in his past two games. And then the Bills, what are this matchup? Buffalo and Kansas City again? That would be a good one. That'd be a tough one. But, I mean, everything, this game tonight, it's absolutely huge, man, because you don't want, you obviously for the bye, but you also don't want to be playing this Chiefs team in the playoffs, man.
Right, and on top of that, it's crazy that
in the first round,
we've counted the Chiefs out, and it's now starting to come up, obviously because of all the ties, but the Chiefs could end up as the one seed just as much as any of those teams in the picture right there, and you wouldn't have seen that coming. I think it's interesting, though, because I kind of wanted to rip into the Titans, right, and everyone's seen how hot the Colts are, and you want to find a spot for the Colts in that playoff picture. I don't see how the Titans lose the division. One, the Colts did this to themselves. They blew that second game against them. They've lost both games against the Titans. The run out of this Titans schedule, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better schedule. Jaguars at Steelers, okay. The 49ers, whatever. Dolphins, Texans. Jaguars, Dolphins, Texans, three of the last five. I mean, we're looking at the Colts where they got to play New England. They're playing an up and down Raiders team. They have a few other games that, like, it's just going to be hard for them to stay afloat. And if they could have gotten a game against the Titans, I think we'd see the Colts in the picture. I can't find a spot for them right now. And then you have the Bengals and the Chargers who kind of hashed at it this weekend. And it was more of a thumping from the Chargers more than anything. It's interesting in the AFC. I think it's, as much as the NFC is inconsistent and you think anyone could beat anyone, I really think in the AFC, we'd see more of the upsets. I truly think in the AFC, it's more likely we see a team come out of the wild card and make a run than in the NFC because, I don't know, the Niners really aren't complete. Washington's kind of playing above their heads. I mean, the Rams maybe, right? The Rams would have to be that team. But other than that, you could kind of make a case for any of these AFC teams, right? The Bengals defense has played a lot better. Their offense is humming. Other than yesterday. And then the Chargers, are kind of a mirroring team. And then, of course, Buffalo and or whoever, say New England ends up there. So I don't know. I think the AFC is scrappy and it's still kind of anybody's game judging, on how the playoff picture looks right now.
It really is. And there's a lot more teams in the hunt in the AFC than in the NFC. I mean, the Dolphins have won five straight games. They're 6-7. They have a bye this week. They play the Jets, then the Saints. Like, who would have thought the Dolphins? Like, we were talking about them giving the top three pick to the Eagles because of how brutal they've won five straight games. Tua's got like a 70% completion rate in like four or five in a row here. He's playing really good under center. So they have the Jets, the Saints, the Titans. If they just beat the Jets and the Saints, and then all of a sudden that game against the Titans is interesting. But like I said, there's a lot more teams in here. I think the Raiders are done now with that loss at 6-6. The Broncos as well at 6-6 done. Steelers still alive at 6-5-1. The Browns at 6-6. And then the Colts, which you mentioned as well, 7-6.
You said the Steelers. I wanted to bring up the Steelers because I think it would be funny if the tie somehow played into this. It's not going to happen. Because you saw Big Ben on his knees like, oh, my God, we won this game yesterday. The retirement tour begins in Baltimore, right, or against Baltimore. It doesn't. They have to play at Minnesota, which, they lost to the Lions. But, no, it's not like – whatever, that's going to be a toss-up. Titans at Chiefs versus the Browns at the Ravens to end the season. That's a gauntlet.
Really and, tough.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet. So
no. I don't believe in them anyways.
I don't buy it.
They lucked out yesterday with a win, I think, but that's it. All right, we'll break. Zach Moss, stats to come. Sean McCormick says, man, he's got some stuff here. Let's give him some credit here. Let's put this, I think the 49ers will be just fine. He did say this a couple weeks ago. Yeah, last week talked about the Niners, how they should have two other wins, outplayed the Packers about a month ago, too. They really did, and they've had their way with the Packers. That's why I said when we brought up that playoff pitcher, man, remember when Rodgers had to go into San Fran? I know it's a bit of a different team here with the Niners, but they went in there and didn't do anything. The Niners smacked them and ran all over them. But yeah, we'll see how this does play
out. I like
out.
McCormick wants to rip into the Titans a little bit too. That's good. Let's see a little of this. The Dolphins start to beat some teams. I mean, that would shake some things up. I you know what? Hand up on me calling the Dolphins an easy win. I can't say anything.
I think you can rip into the Titans, Tino. Yeah, they're done. They lost to the Steelers, Niners, and Dolphins. They're out of here. Yeah, what do we have? Did you rattle off that Titans schedule? What do we got here? You know who's looked brutal is Ryan Tannehill. So they have, what do they got here? They got Jacksonville at Pittsburgh, San Fran, Miami, Houston. Jacksonville's a win. I think.
Houston's a win.
Even though they lost to the Jets. So that's two wins that probably get them in. Yeah, the 10 wins probably get them in. But, yeah, I mean, it's tough to give them the benefit of the doubt anyways. All right, props are over rushing. People are asking questions about tonight's game. Let's break, and we'll get into tonight's game. Keeper Lock, Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. All right, welcome back in. It is Bills and Pats here this evening in Buffalo. So we got the game board matchup here. The Bills are 3-point favorites at home, looking like it's going to be a windy day in Buffalo. The Pats plus 125. If you want to back them, use our free prop shop and parlay calculator to get the best possible odds. Bills minus 141, and then 41 is the total. Like, this was 46, 45 and a half just a few days ago. From a prop standpoint, this is kind of what I'm thinking, and then we'll get your thoughts here, Tino. So I do like New England here to cover. I think this is going to be a field goal game. I'm just going to take the Pats here. I like Beasley. This is plus money over 3.5 grabs. I think that there's going to be a bit of a mismatch, some short throws. I don't know how much success Josh Allen will have throwing the football down the field. I do like Damian Harris. I think there was a question in here about Harris or Stevenson. Props for over rushing yards, Damian Harris or Stevenson. It's tough. They're both roughly around the same. I think Stevenson's at 41. I think Harris right here at 48.5. This is a guy that I will lean with. I think he does have over 11 rushing attempts as well. Man, they just really run the football pretty good in Buffalo. And they run behind what is a pretty good offensive line in there. Jacob Johnson, like, if you haven't seen this guy play the fullback for the Pats, I mean, he paves the way for Damian Harris. He does a really good job, and some good running backs have ran all over them lately. Henry and Taylor. I don't think this Bills rush defense is as good as their numbers suggest. They haven't played a lot of good running backs. Is Harris elite? No, he's not. But they do what New England does really well is run the football really, really well with both backs. I got the lean here to Harris. I think he has the 12 carries. This is just too low for Diggs, right? 4.5 is too low. I know JC Jackson, it's going to be a terrific matchup to watch here today. I understand all of that, but for Diggs, he's had at least 5 catches in 8 of 11 games last season against the Pats, and I know this is a different Patriots defense. It really is, but he had 20 targets and 15 grabs against them. He had 9 catches for 145 and 6 for 92. I get it. It's going to be really windy. Maybe the accuracy is not going to be on point for Allen down the field, but there's lots of ways to get Diggs involved here. You know, some screens, some bubbles. They do that quite a bit. So 4.5 is just too low. And then Dawson Knox at 29.5. So we don't, and this is pretty sure it's confirmed, Kyle Duggar, second-year safety, terrific job against tight ends. New England really, really good against tight ends. He's not going to play. He's on the COVID list. That's a huge, huge loss for the secondary in New England. So I believe we'll see Dawson Knox at over 29.5 receiving yards. So that's kind of what I'm thinking here. But, you know, I also like Josh Allen. I also like Josh Allen over rushing yards at 35.5, especially if he's not going to have a lot of success, you know, throwing the football. If this is a nasty weather game, you know, he's certainly more than capable of doing that on a couple runs. His rushing attempt prop is at 7.5. So, you know, if Vegas is thinking he's going to be around that 7-8 mark, he's probably going to get that over 35.5. What do you think of these props? And I know you like some Zach Moss. We don't know if he's going to be active, but man, if the weather's going to be bad, they should make him active.
So, yeah, I mean, look, I'll get into some of the picks that we have here. Shout out to Al D, Josh Allen, Locke, rushing yards. So he's gone over that total 6 times this season. He didn't do it against the Patriots last year, but he actually missed his total by 0.5 yard. The last game they played, he had 4 carries for 35 yards. So we'd like to see something along the lines of that. But I am on his over there. I'm taking Harris over Stevenson, and I'm taking a Harris touchdown at plus 150 over at DraftKings. You might be able to find it better somewhere else. Harris, 8 touchdowns on the season. He's also gone over the 48.5 rushing yards 7 times this season. He's only done it once over the last 2 games, but he was banged up somewhere in between there. So I think it took him a little bit to get back to normal. But I think there's a heavy workload for him gearing up in this windy, rainy, musty day over in Buffalo. I looked at the weather. It looks like the rain will slow down, but it's going to be super windy and make it very hard to throw the ball. What else do we have here? Let's go to Zach Moss. Let me just get this off my chest. Okay. So the way some of these books do, at least DraftKings does, if the player is inactive, the bet won't count, right? So they are offering a 33% profit boost right now on a first touchdown and anytime score. So while Mean Streets was going on, I was doing some research, and I was leaning towards Stephon Diggs, but then I saw the win, and I was like, wow, Meanie, well, you know, Diggs, 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games, 6 in the last 6, 3 touchdowns against New England, and the last time they played, I'm loving Stephon Diggs here at 9-1 on first touchdown. But then I'm like, no, nice. Swindy, they got to run the ball. So I do like Diggs to score at plus 150 as well. Again, shop around NBA NFL prop shop tool over at FTN Bets. So I start looking at the running game. I don't like Matt Breida, and I don't like Devin Singletary. Now, I know they have solidified roles right now on this offense, but Zach Moss, other than the last game, was playing in games before. Here are the stats. His best games last year came against New England. 81 rushing yards was the top of his season last year, and he had 57 in the last game they played in New England. He has 3 touchdowns in 2 games. He scored in both of those games and has the first touchdown in each of those games. So with that said, if you use your 33% profit boost on Zach Moss' first touchdown, any guess on what Zach Moss' first touchdown is? 50-1.
Wow.
50-1 at DraftKings. 50-1. Use the 33% profit boost. I only sprinkled the 5 on it. We're talking 5 to win 335, 337. That is just free money. And if not, you get your 5-10 bucks back. No harm, no foul. But I think at 50-1, it's enticing. And if you want to look at him as an anytime scorer, plus 900. Again, if he's inactive, I don't think you have to worry about
then
it.
Then whatever. Yeah.
You get your money back. And if he does play, this is the game for him. This is why you activate him. So he's had his most success against him. They utilized him. Now, I know Devin Singletary led the team in rushing to the first game they played New England that he scored in. But it doesn't matter because they both had 80 yards rushing. So I think they can both be used in this game if it's really windy. And I think Moss will end up being used in the red zone. If not, Allen's going to get the work. And we're on the Allen side of things. So I love Zach Moss at 50-1. I think it makes total sense. And it's basically free money at that point. And he's also 9-1 to score. So, yeah.
That's yeah, exactly I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if he doesn't play, he's not active, then whatever, right? I mean, the bet is voided. So, I mean, you jump on it now because when he is active, maybe people will be hammering that and it comes down a little bit. I think that's a pretty good call. Do you think the Pats win tonight? What's your prediction for a score? We do got to break some hockey in NBA, too.
Yeah, so I actually was on the over, right, earlier today, and now I'm kind of torn because you talked to me about the weather. I still like this to be relatively high scoring for these teams. So, like, 24-21 gets you the over. I love the Patriots plus 3 in a game that's going to be run heavy. I think all the pressure's on the Bills. I think the Patriots have the better defense and the better running game. So, with that said, yeah, give me a Patriots plus 3. That's where I'm leaning. And if I had to lean, it's to the under now, but I'm on the over. So I'm torn. I don't have anything on the total here.
It's a tough total now. 41's a tough. I think it's a fade. I think you fade it, but I do think that we'll see some of the props that we talked about. I think we'll see Buffalo. I think we'll see New England a lot of cover 3. Say go ahead, dink and dunk. Try to run the football. If you want to run the football, go for it. Which does leave some opportunity for Beasley with some catches and knocks, maybe some receiving yards. We got a break. We got 2 more segments here to wrap through. We got some NHL picks here next. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in. Got a couple NHL props here for you. I see a comment from Al D. Just curious if I was influenced by Van Halen's Mean Street, the song for the YouTube channel. The song, actually, my father-in-law made that for me, but I am not too young for the Van Halen. I know that song. At night, how does it start? It's like, at night, I walk this stinking street past the crazies on the block. I used to work at a classic rock station. I showed it to K-Rock, Valley's Classic Rock, Van Halen, all the time. But honestly, Mean Streets did not come from that. But I do like myself a little Van Halen. You are here for the shot props, I see. So let's give you a couple. Al D, we appreciate the comments. So this is what I'm thinking here this evening. Nathan McKinnon, 3.5. He hasn't hit this over the past couple, but this is a really good spot tonight against the Flyers, who just fired Alan Avino. Philly second in shot attempts against at 5-5 per 60, and the third most shots allowed. You got Rupe Hintz on this list. He's cleared in 9 of his past 12. The times that he didn't, he was stuck on 2. He didn't in the last game, but he hit the bar once as well. Shot attempts have been there. The top line's fantastic. A really good spot against Arizona. I got Dougie Hamilton for the first time here this season on Mean Streets, but this is somebody we've been targeting over at ftmbets.com. 3.5 is plus money. 5 shots, 4, 7, and 10. That's 26 shots over his last 4 games. A matchup here against the Senators, who have allowed the most shot attempts and the second most shots at 5-5 per 60 since November 1st. Trevor Zegras has been shooting the puck quite a bit over the last 4 games. He's got 20 shots. He has cleared in 5 straight games. Connor Garland in there as well. Why not go back to Garland? He's cleared in 2.5. He's cleared 2.5 in Ava's past 9 games. You got Victor Arvidsson and Alex Iafallo in that same game. Also pretty decent. One guy not on this list is Josh Norris. He's plus 120 for over 2.5 shots. He's cleared in 3 straight and 5 his past 7. I like the over in New Jersey and Ottawa. I think both teams allowing a lot of rubber. So you can get involved with Dougie Hamilton. You can get involved with Josh Norris. You know, McKinnon or Landeskog against the Flyers, pretty good spot. Dallas here against Arizona. Rupe Hintz, Josh Robertson, these guys are in play. And then Zegras in a tough spot against Washington. But like I said, he's shooting the puck. He's getting a lot of ice time. Ryan Getzlaff is week to week. So maybe even a little bit more ice time for Trevor Zegras. The Pittsburgh Penguins beat Seattle, Dallas, and Arizona under. You can go Dallas if you want, minus 300. I don't get involved. Maybe include them in the puck line and the under there. And then Ottawa and Jersey over. And then Colorado beats the Flyers by 2 goals. Vigneault gone. A mess in Vancouver. Benning's gone. Everyone's gone. Everyone's fired. NBA in here next. A couple picks to round out Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, 2 minutes here to talk a little NBA. We'll get that right. Yeah, Zegras scored twice against the Caps in his last game. Dubois. Did anyone see Dubois just manhandle Matthews last night? I mean, Matthews got to stick up for himself just a little bit. You could take Dubois, man. You're a big boy. Take that guy down, and people won't pick on you so much. All right, NBA, handful of games. What do you got? You've been red hot too, so kind of got to keep her going, dude.
So we went 1-2 on Friday. We got backdoored by the Suns. Although we were all on them, it wasn't necessarily a backdoor. It's just we knew DeAndre Ayton was on the board, so it'd be trouble for the Suns, and that's exactly what happened. So no board today, and we're just going to get into it. Yeah, shout out to George and his amazing boards. So we're going to ride the hot hand. We're taking the Chicago Bulls. I was at the Bulls-Nets game. They beat the Nets, and they're actually coming off a New York sweep here. They beat the Hornets, which is a good win. They beat the Knicks and the Nets. The Knicks, not a good win, but that's just me taking a jab at the Knicks. They're 3.5-point favorites at home against the Nuggets. The Nuggets have been up and down. It's kind of just Nikola Jokic and whatever they put together, you know, Campazzo and Will Barton and whatever's on the court. They're just not that good. They're super inconsistent. 3 of the last 5, they've lost. They beat the Knicks, but like I said, not that great. They're still on a road trip here, a 4th game on the road trip. Although they're 2-1 on that road trip, I think going into Chicago and with the spread only being 3.5, a little over a possession, I think the Bulls got that. This is a line that I don't get. The Wizards are 6-point dogs on the road against the Indiana Pacers. Now, the Wizards better at home. The Pacers tend they're better at home, not on the road. Okay, the Pacers are good at home. Just want to gather my thoughts. The Pacers have lost 4 in a row. Now, the Wizards are struggling. They've lost 3 of the last 4, but 6 points for one of the top teams in the East against a Pacers team that only has 9 wins on the season, I just think it's too much. Now, again, I was laughing and saying, I think this is one of those rat lines. I'm sure the entire Wizards team is going to now be out, and then the 6 is going to make total sense by the start of tip-off. But right now, I don't see anything on the injury report. So I love the Wizards getting 6. I think they can win that outright. Everything stays the same. And then we got the Hornets at home against the 76ers. I've seen this line at 7.5. It's down to 6.5. If you can get a 7.5, take the Hornets at home. The Sixers are just getting good, but the Hornets are a very good team. That game should be close. 7.5. Done.
Right. Done. I leave you no time. That's why I always say I'm the worst. I leave you no time, but you always crush it. McCormick will clean it up for it. Gotta wrap it up. We're out of here. Enjoy the Devils game tonight, Tino. Devils in the over. We'll be back tomorrow. Cheers.